You're listening to The Yellow Rose. I'm Wanda Caraway, and my guest today is the famed star Clara Lynch and her husband, all the way from Huntsville, Alabama, Grammy nominee. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with more. Welcome, Clara and Larry. You're here in Houston for a big concert, and tell me, I've just been reading all these wonderful articles about the two of you. You came from New York. Tell me, how did you get to Huntsville, Alabama from New York?
Well, I was born in upstate New York, and then my father worked for IBM, and the space program was big in the 60s, and he got transferred to Huntsville, Alabama, where the Redstone Arsenal is. And Larry, your dad was with the space program too, wasn't he?
That's right. He worked for NASA, and we moved to Huntsville at the early stages. From Texas here. Actually, I was born here in Houston. And then
you were born in Houston. Great.
Lived in Fort Worth, and Dallas area, too, for a while before we moved to Alabama.
And so you understand we're friends in the ninth grade. Is that correct?
Same homeroom.
They say soulmates come together, and you been singing since. How long have you been singing, Claire? How old were you when you started singing?
Well, professionally, I was 19, you know, when I started doing it for money, if you could call it that at the time. But when I was a little girl, my family was very musical, and my mom and dad taught my sisters and I how to sing harmony and trio, and we did a lot of music in church. So I've been singing a long time.
So you sing a lot of gospel. And how did you start, Larry, with the Front Porch String Band? How did you all start that?
Well, I was interested in music during high school years, too, and graduated high school, went off to college, and that was in the early 70s, and there was a big bluegrass resurgence during that time, and a lot of festivals were happening all over the South, and I happened to go to a festival or two and experience the acoustic side of music, and I was so impressed that you could go way out in the a camping area and hear music out there without ever plugging in. I was kind of infatuated by that, and I had played the guitar up to that point, and then that's when I went out and got my first mandolin after watching some other people play. I thought that was a real cute little instrument, so that's about how I got started in it.
So you are known for a unique way that you do your picking, right?
Well, I hope so. The mandolin's real. It plays a real important rhythm part in the bluegrass format, as well as playing lead. It's a real solid. It takes the place of what a drummer does in other kinds of music. It's the rhythm that you play on it.
Right, that's real important. He has a unique style of rhythm playing. It's been applauded by many.
And you are a very famous songwriter. You've wrote a lot of songs. A lot of people have played them, like Patti Lovelace and Dolly and all of them. But you were saying, I read an article where John Starlin introduced you to Paul Kraft. Tell me about that.
Well, John was with the Seldom Seen, which is a very well-known bluegrass band from Washington, D.C. area. And he took a liking to us. He moved to Alabama years back and took a liking to myself and the band, and Paul was an old friend of his from Virginia, and he introduced us to Paul Kraft, who later called me up on the telephone and said, if I can get your Hills of Alabama cut, can I have the publishing? And that's how we got started doing business together. That's how I got started in the songwriting business, you know, through the Nashville connection.
So you've been inspired writing for a long time, and a lot of your songs I've read that you inspired to write, and then you sang the songs. Is that correct?
Yeah. I've written a lot of songs since I was probably about 20 years old, and I've recorded many of them, at least three on every album I think that we've ever recorded, and on my most recent album I think I wrote about five of them.
You wrote The Hills of Alabama?
Alabama.
By the way, I'm from Tennessee. Yeah. In fact, they're roughies, as I was telling you, they're in Huntsville, Alabama, where you're from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so what inspired you to write The Hills of Alabama?
Well, that song was, I think it was a sort of a homesick kind of a song. We were on the road full time back in those days, and I discovered that playing music was only half of the job. The other half was being a truck driver. And so really, Hills of Alabama is sort of a truck driving song, really. But it was recorded later by Kathy Mattea, who put it on her Willows in the Wind album, a very successful album for her.
That's great. And then Patti Loveless sang Some Morning Soon. Did you write that also?
Well, I wrote that. I had a little help from Larry.
Larry over
here.
Yeah,
we wrote that one together.
Y'all write together? Do you wake up in the middle of the night? A lot of writers I've talked to, they'll say they're inspired at 3 in the morning. They'll get up and they'll have a song come to me. Is that how it happens with you?
Well, usually I sleep so good that I don't have that problem getting up in the middle of the night. But I have been inspired upon waking. You're sort of in a pseudo awake place. You're halfway asleep. You're halfway awake. Your mind's completely relaxed, and those thoughts are there when you wake up sometimes.
So you write them down as soon as you're inspired.
Well,
with the song.
If you don't, you lose them. I've learned that.
You've also worked with Linda Ronstadt and Dolly Parton. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that. I know that they have wrote great things about the two of you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was asked to sing on an album by Dolly Parton a few years back. Ricky Skaggs was producing it, and we've known Ricky for a lot of years because of his involvement with bluegrass music. And so I got to sing a song with Dolly Parton, and it was a real good experience, and she's a real special lady. She's very kind and very beautiful in person. And then I was asked, I guess it was last year, wasn't it? Or
Two years ago.
I got a call from Linda Ronstadt, and she asked me to come out to Arizona and sing on her album. And so I think I sang a couple of songs on that album.
What did you sing on there?
We did an old Carter Family song, and it was sort of like a duet during the verses. And it was a duet, and it was called Lover's Return. I think Emmylou Harris was also on that song.
That's great. Yeah. In 1992, Claire, you were offered your first Music Row songwriting contract. Tell me about that. I bet that was exciting, wasn't it?
It was. Well, it's everything I think that any songwriter would aspire to, and that's a professional songwriting agreement with a major publisher. And it's been a real honor. It's been a real privilege, and mostly it's been a learning experience. I've learned a lot since I started on the professional level with songwriting, and I think I have a lot more to learn, but I think that I've come to a level of knowing a lot more about the craft of songwriting since then.
You had said that you feel like your life was just beginning then. An article's written about that. So you said that you were, in some of the articles I read, that you were shy. And I know I remember when I was growing up, too. I remember on the back of a pickup truck, I used to hold a microphone and imagine I was singing.
Yeah. A lot of girls do that when they're young, I think.
So you felt that that was the beginning then, when you got your contract, the two of you. Was that contract for both? Or you started doing?
I started writing. That was just a writer's contract for me. And Larry has since then pursued his career in accounting, too. So as well as playing in the band with me, he has
a real job.
And you have two children that you also, and you mentioned you just travel on the weekends. And mm-hmm. Because of family. A lot of people, right. You know, that can really be a problem because you are traveling and everything. But mm-hmm. having a family and being able to have the talent that you have and travel, and I know you're away this weekend for the festival here in Houston. Mm-hmm. And what is it like? How do the children feel?
Well, the children, our oldest one, he's how old now?
14.
He handles it real well. We've been playing music since he was about 6 months old, and so he handles it well. He accepts it. We have a little girl who's a little bit distraught with the whole situation. She's sort of a clinger. She's 7 years old, and she's full of herself. I'll tell you, she's probably another Claire coming up. That's what she is.
Great. So they sing along with you, right?
Yeah, they're both very musical.
Well, stay tuned, and we'll be right back with more and Clara about her being nominated for a Grammy and all the people she's worked with. So stay tuned. You're listening to The Yellow Rose, and I'm Wanda, and we'll be right back after the commercial. Yellow Rose, I'm Wanda, and my guest is Clara and Larry Lynch from Huntsville, Alabama.
Hey,
we
Wanda.
Were talking about all the good times and where she's come, where they've come from where they are today. And you were telling me in the studio you were recently, they just had the fanfare in Nashville. Tell me what that's like. I saw it on the news.
Yeah. Well, that's my first trip to fanfare. And I've seen it on TNN and, you know, read about it for a long time. It was really nice. I was surprised that as many people there knew who I was as did. On Monday night, Larry and I went up and we with our band and we played at the Fanfare Bluegrass Show for the fans. And then Wednesday, I went to the Rounder Records booth there. That's my recording label. And signed autographs for people. And we had a lot of fun. A lot of people from Europe were very familiar with me. Over in England, I'm well-liked, I find.
You know, I find that a lot of people in England appreciate music. I've noticed the charts recently, and a lot of Americans that are going there, they're way up in the charts there, and mm-hmm. bluegrass, so they really like bluegrass there.
Yeah, they like a folk-tinted music. They really do.
And you, so tell me about, you have written many songs. Tell me about some of the songs that you've written and what inspired you.
Well, let's see. I've written, we talked about Hills of Alabama earlier. That one was about truck driving. And then I wrote Some Morning Soon with Larry here. And it was actually, that was sort of a sad song, a breaking up song, which we never did. We never broke up, did we?
Well, no. So you're inspired with some of your songs because of your own life and what you've gone through in the 20 years.
Those are the best kind, the ones that come out of real life experience, I think.
And from the heart, because when you sing them, you also sing from the heart. And mm-hmm. we were talking in the studio, Larry, about acoustic country. Tell me, what do you feel today about how receptive they are to that?
We're getting a lot of good reception with it. We did a video that was on, I guess, starting last December, which was a song. It was done totally acoustically with the mandolins and fiddles and guitars, it's a country song, but it was actually done all acoustically, just like a bluegrass band would do it. And we don't really limit our style to just bluegrass. We played just about quite a number of different styles. We play folk music and
country,
swing, acoustic country, and mm-hmm. Irish music, and just
so
just
really,
all
you
rock
play
and roll.
A variety. Yeah,
we play just about everything. We don't try to limit our style. And we grew up listening to quite a few different styles, and we enjoy playing them. So we figure, they're our guitars. We'll just play what we want to.
You know what I was reading about was your Wabash Cannonball. Yeah. I know my uncle, he's from Alabama, and he plays a French harp. He really tears up. He won there in Alabama. He won, you may know him, Gooch is his last name. He won best on the French harp. Do you play the different instruments, and have you ever played the French harp? No.
And play the penny whistle.
Yeah. Penny whistle. You were talking about, too, Clara, earlier about when you grew up, it was with the rock and the Beatles. I remember mm-hmm. when that. So the bluegrass now is slowing down into how do you feel about that?
Well, I grew up listening to pop radio, and then, of course, I had a background in gospel music because it was around our house and we had a lot of church music. And my parents liked show tunes, and so I was exposed to a lot of those. But I was struck with bluegrass music about age 19. I saw a live performance of a bluegrass band, and they were they were doing a teaser set in front of an auditorium where they were fixing to do a concert. And they stopped me in my tracks. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was a full band sound, but there were no electrical outlets, and the banjo was so very powerful, the way that it's played bluegrass style, and it just drew me in, and I was sold from then on out.
I like what you said when you wrote your song, Abraham. You said, God promises many earthly and spiritual offsprings, but you said, in Abraham's children, I'm one of the many stars in the sky.
Yeah.
And you said also that you didn't care about to stumble, but you're learning to fly, and you've really come a long way. Tell me about your Abraham's album.
Well, Children of Abraham is the name of a song that I wrote on my Moonlighter album, and it is a song of faith. I tell you how I was inspired to write that. I don't know if you remember, but TNT Television made some movies for television and about different biblical characters, and one of them was Abraham, starring Richard Harris. And I had always heard about Abraham all my life. Growing up, you know, in the Bible stories, but to see the way that he portrayed the man, he heard God's voice. God said, go. He didn't know where he was going. He just picked up his family and left. His parents said, where are you going? He said, I don't know. I'm just going. And it was real. All of a sudden, that picture of faith was just very clear to me, that we don't know what's ahead. We're just walking one step at a time in faith. The children, God promised Abraham that his offspring would be as multiple as the stars and the sands of the sea.
That's right. Mm-hmm. You know, if we have faith, God said if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can move a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, like yourself, you've come a long way. And on your gospel album, you've written other songs that are on there also.
I did a gospel album about 3 years ago called Friends for a Lifetime for the Brentwood Bluegrass label. And it will be released on Rounder here very soon, we're hoping. They're trying to work it out to where we'll have a re-release. But I did. I wrote a lot of gospel songs for that, and it's probably one of my favorite albums I've ever done.
And also, the biggest thing in your life is nominated for Songwriter of the Year and the Grammy. So yeah. Tell me about that. How did that feel about that? How did you feel?
Oh, it was great. I was nominated for, actually, my album, Moonlighter, was nominated for Best Bluegrass Album of the Year, and Larry and I picked up Lock, Stock, and Barrel, went out to L.A., and
last February
and went to the ceremonies. We didn't win, but we had a good time. We ate until we couldn't eat anymore.
Well, tell me, what's in store for you now? We're going to listen to your Moonlighter album as mm-hmm. we're closing here. We have just a few minutes left. Mm-hmm. But tell me, what's in store for you now? What after you've come this far, after 20 years, what do you have plans for the future? I know you told me you're going to be playing Houston, then you're going back to Alabama. Yeah. What's in store for you now?
Well, after we didn't win the Grammy this year, so my first impression was we've got to do another album.
Yeah.
Let's go back home and do another album.
Yeah, so we're in the middle of putting another album together.
Learning songs and writing songs and learning them, getting ready to go mm-hmm. back in the studio again this year.
Great. Well, I want to thank you for being on the Yellow Rose today. You are such a lovely couple and such an inspiration out there, and I just wish you the best of luck in the world, and I know this weekend is going to be wonderful with all the people coming to hear you in concert. And how can you get in touch, and how can you get your album? We'd like for you to tell us how they can get in touch with you.
Well, you can get in touch with us through P.O. Box 771, Gallatin, Tennessee, 37066.
Thank you again for being on the show, The Yellow Rose, and stay tuned every Saturday morning from 8:30 to 9:30. This is Wanda, and we have celebrities like Claire and Larry on our show each week. Thank you again, Claire and Larry.
First time around, you don't know what you have. Oh. until the day comes when you lose it. Now I'm getting ready for my second chance. This time I won't refuse it, 'cause I've been surveying the shape that I'm in, wasted and weary and weary.
Listening to WTN, the World Talk Network. Any comments made by the hosts and our guests are not necessarily the opinions of WTN, the producers, the sponsors, or this station.